So, welcome Susiana to CHAOS.
Thank you very much.
And David, Dave, to join our class, Tuesday, nice class. I have a few things to say before we start our lessons. I went to Texas and to Apalucatesvara Festival in Texas. They have a huge status of Apalucatesvara, and every year the Vietnamese temple over there. And, they host Apalucatesvara's, and we've been do like 3 step and 1 prostrations Apalucatesvara around the temple. And it's very nourishing because we have about 230 monastics gathering together, gathering and do the prostration, and many thousands of lay practitioners. So joy is the ceremony and prostrations. And it's warm, but there's a lot of there's a lot of wind because colder winds flow there, and it's kind of very quite cold during the prostrations. And it's nice to see a lot of monastics, a lot that I don't know them, but many young monastics come over. A lot of them come from Vietnam. They came here and tried to get their green card here and stay here. And you can see they come and listen to their difficulties, come to the United States, you know, culture shocks, language barriers, and also see what their practice like. Nourishings. Just like during the time of the Buddha, there's a lot of monastics. So it's surrounded by the energy of, here what I'm saying is the energy of practice, because everyone practice. So and everybody come with the mind of, you know, of practicing. So it's nice. It's a long drive. And we drove here to Texas, 16 hours or more. And I stay during on our way to Texas, we stay at one of the Vietnamese temple overnight. They came here one time. So, they are the same lineage as my master, and Zen lineage. Met many monks. Some of the monks have good aspirations. That's nice to have, you know, friends that have beautiful aspirations. You meet many different level monks, and there is a lot of nuns, but I didn't talk to them because in the tradition we don't supposed to, you know. We talk, and you know, a lot of people surround. It's feel not comfortable. Not comfortable in a way because everybody look at you with different eyes. So, but I met some nuns and talk. And it's nice. But in Pumbaa it's different. We share monks and nuns. We like brother and sister. But in tradition, you know, monks and nuns like separate. They're afraid of attachment. But in Prambolis we more like brother and sister, and supporting each other in the practice more. And I think that's nice. But there's attachment, but we have the practice. You know, as humans, so slowly today we will talk about that. As human we have some kind of attachment in us. But we have the practice and the mindfulness so that shy. The satellites on, you know, what we're supposed to do. And I met some senior monks too. Senior monks. And it's nice to be have a long drive with Table Kite, so we can talk. And I think it's a topless model relationship and understanding. More understanding is present, yeah. And more sharing on the way. I learned one thing when I was there, you know, as a teacher or as a senior teacher, you should be more careful with your words, you know. I met one senior monk, but in our confessions, I learned something that, you know, you shouldn't use your authority or words that. Sometimes you say it, but it can be with intents or unintentions, but it can cause some distrust. Doesn't matter whether you're senior monks, it doesn't mean that you have the power. For me, as a teacher, to say whatever you want to say, it can hurt the young people. And it's the same thing as parents also, you know. Senior monk in the practice, but as a parent in the house, sometimes you think that you have more power and you can say whatever you want to say. But your word can be a knife cut through your children. As a teacher also, you say word that not that's motivating, not encouragement, the practice. And so words can have a lot of power that can cause a lot of damage to oneself and the people around. And so I learned that. You know. So we have to be careful with our speech. That's why the Buddha teaches speech is very important. this can be nourishing, but at the same time it can be damaging or destroying. And it leaves a deep scar in the consciousness, especially for young people, because their consciousness is very pure and very sharp, so they can receive it easily. And it takes a long time to transform, to get. If you are lucky, you meet some people or some teacher that help you to transform that. Otherwise, the scar, that kind of scar, is imprint in the consciousness very deep. So language is where it can be very abusive and can do a lot of harmful things for our consciousness. So we, as a practitioner, we should be very careful and very mindful of our language, use of language, so that we don't hurt ourselves and hurt other people. We don't use our power, our authority to say what that can cause. Just a few things I want to share with you before we start. So last time, last couple weeks, we 2 weeks ago, we studied about the interdependent co-risings, and then we stopped for 2 weeks, I think. So now today we'll come back to studying that, continue our study on the interdependent co-risings. So did anyone remember that what we're talking about? So I just want to warm it up so that we can, you know, continue the process. So we're talking about the six kind of of course, right? This kind of course. this kind of course, and and four kinds of conditions. Because I just want to reveal that so that, you know, we can have a process of understanding can be flow easy. So number one is like what? Condition cause. So for example, this is like seas. Is the sea of plow, the sea of rice, is the root kind of cause. So I just briefly go over. So the first kind of cause, condition cause, there are six. So this kind of as the sixth kind of cause is, the first one is motivating cause or creative force. Conditions. So the number two is concurrent conditions. And number three is the seas conditions of the similar of the same kind, such as like for example rice produce rice similarity. And the fourth one is associated conditions. So in this associated conditions, there are, you know, wholesome and unwholesome working together to produce or to support each other. And the fifth condition is universal conditions, such as earth, water, fire, air, space. And the sixth kind of condition is ripening conditions. And in that kind of ripening conditions, we have different time of ripenings and different kind of ripenings. And so that's under the the number one condition cause or cause of conditions. And number two, and under that there is six kind of conditions. Number two, conditions of development. So there is, you know, there are conditions that support to how to to support for the development. So in that is we have favorable and unfavorable conditions. So both support each other. So favorable conditions help us to go forth on our practice, but at the same time unfavorable also help us to strengthen to see our weakness. So as an obstacle that challenges us to work forward. So that unfavorable, but at the same time it support, it's able to strengthen. So without unfavorable, we don't see that how far we can, you know, we cannot see our strength, how strength we can be. So it's both support each other. Unfavorable help you to, you know, if you are weak, favorable condition help you. But you are strong, you need to test. Like for example, if you go PhD, or for example. So you need to do some research, you need to sit in the committees in front of 10 PhD people, you know, so they can challenge you, see your, you know, how far you can go, what is your understand about that subject. So that's a challenge. But if you are first beginning, they give you some class to support you, to develop your understand first. So in the practice like that, for example, you meet good teacher. But sometimes unfavorable teacher can help you too, you know, because they see your level of practice. So the teacher have to test you, you know, to throw you out into the world and see how strong your practice is. You know, first you enter the practice order, and the teacher always, you know, enhance you, you know, support you. But later on he might scold you, you know, see whether how big your ego is. First, you know, because your ego is too weak, you know, too fragile. So, and you so fragile, young in the practice. So the teacher also give you concern, love, guidance, that favorable conditions. But later on, he might test you. He say, go, you know. You see whether how big your ego is. So that's unfavorable conditions. So help you to develop on the path. So there is monks, they go to them after they realize their practice, and they practice on the mountain for maybe 30 years. China, there is monks, Zen master, they practice the mountain. And later on they go down to the mountain and go into the bar, you know. Maybe they go into drinking bar, strip bar, and they see where how much they can see the mind. Because they have the mindfulness, they can see how much disturbing the mind is to see the external environment. So if they see that, they've been a lot of attachment, a lot of desire going on, they go back. So that's, they test themselves through the challenge situations, through the unfavorable situations like that. And the fourth one is object as a conditions. So that's the four kind of conditions, of course, as a condition. So I just want to review that for you too. So today we will into the 12 links, the 12 links of interdependent co-arisings. So that is the preparations to see the cause and the conditions. And as you know that, as we study the 12 the interdependent co-arisings, the background is we have to understand the cause and effect. That is the main teachings there, cause and effect. And the cause and effect is not linear. It's just like in Buddhism, we don't talk much about linears but in the West, we have the tendency. For example, we study math, they say linear equations. That, but the teaching of the Buddha is not, he says, it's not a linear. It's nothing, it's like A, B, C, D, you know, like point from A, point A to point B, there's a straight line. So please don't misunderstand that. With the teaching of lineage, there is the misunderstanding on this, people. So when I write out, you know, the 12 links as a straight line, but don't understand it as a lineage, as a straight line, because the way we present in that, so that you can understand. But later on, we see how interconnected each link as yes, they are. So in the heart of the Buddha teachings by Tai, he explained it very clearly, and it's a very practical and different way to present the 12 links here in this book. So here I will be present some of the way that let's present the 12 links. But if you want to further understand and further research, there's many different teachings, many teachers, and many different way of presents the 12 links here. But ours is the purpose is for us to understand and to practice. You can present the 12 links in the academic way, or you can present the 12 links in the practical way. It depends. And if you are a practitioner, then you presents the 12 links in the practitioner way, in the practical way. But if you are an academic teacher, then you presents the 12 links in the academic ways. And so for me, I would like to emphasize more on the practice aspects. I think that is more fruitful and more transformation for us Because we all here as students, as a worker, we go to school, we study a lot of academics. Yeah, myself too. But I think presenting the teaching of the Buddha, because the purpose of the Buddha to appear in this earth is not to tell us something philosophical, but is to, he tried to help us out and our, to put an end to our sufferings. So in order to put an end into our suffering, we have to practice. That's the only way. So the first links on the 12 links is ignorance. But don't understand us. Please don't understand if ignorance is the first cause. It's not. According to Tay in this book, he say that at the time the Buddha, he don't present ignorance as the first link. He present death as suffering and sickness as the first link, because that more relate to the Four Noble Truths. As you remember, that the Four Noble Truths he presents. Normally we present the cause first, but he presents the result first, the result of the suffering. So in that way, it's more close to his teachings when he presents death or decay. But slowly, as many Buddhist teachers, they try to solve death and decay, and they present ignorance as the first link. That's what according to Tai. And I think in my understanding, and I think I agree with Tai, because as according to my practice, I think it's when the Buddha presents suffering first, so death and decay is the first link. But slowly later on, many teachers come after the Buddha, after the Buddha's, the time of the Buddha passing away, and many teachers, Buddhist teachers, present in that, in the way of ignorance first. So ignorance is the first cause. So when we are, so ignorance, they have their positive sides and negative sides also. But according to Tay, he say that many teachers present the 12 links more in a negative side, because ignorance causes a lot of suffering. So everybody is trying to prove that ignorance is suffering. But Tay, he say that, so in his book, he mostly he present, he talk about some negative, but he present the positive side of ignorance also. So that we can see we have both views of ignorance. So when in the negative side, or we can see ignorance costs a lot. When there is ignorance, what is present in ignorance? Many character. So when if we are in ignorance, we can see anger in us, right? Jealousy. I don't know, I spell it right. Jealous. Is that correct?
A, you just add an A in between the E and the L. Right?
Yeah.
Jealousy.
Yeah.
There's all kind of ignorance, jealousy, irritations. You know, ignorance is an energy. It's an energy. Because anger is an energy, right? Jealousy is an energy. It's not something that you can see. But when it's manifest, you can see the actions, right? But it's an energy. For example, like irritation, you feel some discomfort on you. So that an energy. So someday you. So if we are in ignorance, we cannot see. So ignorance, they say that the lack of light. Because when in ignorance, you cannot see. You are blind. Lack of understanding.
Hi.
Hello.
What about the senses? Are you in the middle of something?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of I'm teaching.
The lesson, it looks like. Can I just get the address of this house? Is this a house?
Yeah. 8485.
8485?
US Highway 285.
Okay, I got it. I'm just gonna map it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sorry to bother you.
Oh, it's okay. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
But she's gonna yeah, she's gonna count us all as
you wanna come in?
Thank you.
Wait till you say one person. She's going to say
so when we are in ignorance state, we cannot see ourselves, and we cannot see what is around us. That's why we say things that costly for our life and for many life. Sometimes it's this life, but the costly sometimes many life. Ignorance. For example, if we are in ignorance state and our mentality is not clear, and you can make some kind of killing, and you cost your life for this life, but many lives time to come also. So that's your instinct. Mm. If you cannot see clearly to make the decisions. So we have no light, just like blind man, you know. You cannot see. You cannot see. Because your mind at this time is deluded. Deluded mind. Called ignorance. And it's caused many anger, jealousies. You have a question?
What about, would judgmental, being judgmental come into ignorance?
Judgmental, they have also positive side. If you criticize somebody with a mind of supporting, you know, somebody can create to help them. But if you criticize them to put them down, then it's fall into ignorance. But many situations is fall into this, just mental.
So if I judge somebody else harshly or wrongly.
Yeah, it's depending on your stage of mind at that time, at that stage. If you judge for criticize, you know, like, for example, if you present your dissertation and the committee try to criticize you, but if criticize for good, then it's not ignorance. But if you criticize, you know, try to fail them in your intentions, then you are in this state here. So intention is very important here, in that, you know. So killing intention and unintentions. So vidya is lack of light. That's Sanskrit word, lack of light. So when we are in the stage of ignorance, we are lacking of understanding. Because we can't see. And in that state, we have a lot of wrong perceptions, ignorance. So this is the negative side of ignorance. All the characters, anger, aggressive, attachment, all that fall into the ignorance state. Positive side of ignorance. So when the light, when there is absence of darkness, then there should be light, right? So it's a positive side of that. And positive side of that is light and understanding. So whenever we are able to transform these ignorance qualities in our mind consciousness, then we have this light understanding, clear understanding. So that's the positive side of that. So the second link is volitional actions or volitional force. So ignorance condition this, you know, fee the volitional actions. So when we are in ignorance, we take the actions that leading into pain, suffering. Because we cannot see, so we take the actions, the force of it, the energy, go into the directions of painful for ourselves. So ignorance feed this into that. So we could, because we cannot see, so we take the actions that really painful for us, our body and our mind. And that will be radiated out, you know, the surrounding, our surroundings. So it's, but if we have the light and the understanding, then the positive side of this is aspiration. So we can take the negative actions or positive actions at the same time. If we have the light, we can see the aspiration, we have a good aspirations. So that aspiration we call bodhicitta in Mahayana Buddhism. Bodhicitta is the mind of care, the mind of love. That you can take this action, but the same action but have two different results. One action that you can be a lot, create, generates a lot of sufferings. But other actions of aspirations, the action of motivating to care, concerns, and love. So that's the positive side of volitional action, of volitional force. For example, as a human, Buddha also a human, Bodhisattva as a human, and we as a human, samsaric human. So sometimes we take the actions that cause a lot of pain for us because we lack of the aspirations of concern and love. We do concern, but more like individual. So for example, in our society, we call it society individualisms. So most of our action is more focused on ourselves. Maybe in a nuclear family, small. Right. But as the Bodhisattva or Buddha, he's as a human. Later we go on further on that. But he takes the actions different. It's more extended actions. Right? More taught into the directions of non-self. That's the Bodhisattva. And the Buddha. The Saint. People who have a good heart. Concern for society. So that's the aspirations, the positive side. So the same samsara human being, the same like have composed of the water elements, earth element, fire element, but because of different aspirations, take different path. Because the Buddha, they have the light inside, internal light, internal understanding. And that's why his action totally is non-self, selflessness.
Can I ask a question about number two?
Mm-hmm.
Two questions.
Sure.
One of them is, can you act? So since they're connected, I'm thinking, first of all, sort of the Eightfold Path and the wheel, that everything's connected. Can you act out of irritation or jealousy or anger? Does that always go into the volitional negative? Or could you somehow, even when you're angry, act out of into a better aspiration?
Oh, yes. Yes. It's depend internal intentions. For example, there's a man who tried to teach the child as a parent, for example. And as a parent, at the same time, as a practitioner. So he tried to yell at the child. Come call the child because the child doing something not right. But once the father called the child in and tried to, you know, to scold him at the child, or try to hit in Vietnam, they can spend the jiao. But the jiao, the father stopped and say, oh, I couldn't do that. He called the jiao in and tried to spend, but because of his internal anger, and say, oh, you go. And the mother say, why don't you spend the jiao? And say, no, I couldn't do that because I know that inside I have anger. So I let the jiao and say, go and play. Because when you do that, you become hatred. There's a story like that. So as you know inside that you have an intention, but because you try to discipline the child with internal love, but because there at that moment you give rise to some kind of anger, so he don't want to turn that into hatred and will not transform the child. So he tried to, at that moment he recognized right away and stop and let the child go and play. So, in us, we have a bodhisattva that manifests Avalokiteshvara as a very wrathful bodhisattva. But he tried to discipline all the unbehavior, samsara mean. He tried to throw out fire. This, but inside him, as a bodhisattva, he had a lot of love and compassion. So as a practice, we know, sometimes we ask inside us, there's a lot of anger, and that turn into hatred, turn into violence. But then sometimes you say, because of the mean of transform that person, but inside you're full of care and love. That's the difference. Why? So sometimes we cannot judge the person externally. There are teachers that are very mean, but inside him is like a lot of nectar. Mm. Nectars. So you have to understand the situation. Some people you look aside, it's very mean, but when you understand him, he's very loved inside. Lovable inside. So that's why when you study Buddhism, it's not like black and white. Not black and white. Some people have very mean appearance, but very soft heart, and very compassionate heart. And I met that kind of people. Like in Tibet temple, there is many guardians. They are very mean. Try to scary, you know. try to scary those people, you know, come and try to do some bad thing for the temple. So In Buddhism, we have a wholesome bodhisattva and wholesome, you know, honor appearance, you know, very mean bodhisattva like that in the temple. But in the heart, they are very, very nice and very kind. And there is a story in Vietnam, you know, like this layman, and he lived in the temple. And in Vietnam, we have a lot of fruit. And, you know, like in the afternoon, all the monastics resting. And all the jiao, you know, children, students come, try to pick the fruit. So this man tried to scare all the students away. But in his heart, he tried to, you know, try to not the children, let the children do a lot of damage to the trees, you know, and try to not to pick the young fruit. You know, children, students, they like, they can play and they can do all kind of stuff. But the man is very calm. So that's why when we have a calm mind, we can able to see. Calm mind. And you can feel the energy of that person. But if you have disturbed mind, deluded mind, you cannot feel that. Feel that. So all this needs the practice. And you can feel it. If you really practice and you can feel it. When you surround people, you can feel the energies. The energy is like magnetic. You can feel. So that's why energy is like magnetic. Sometimes people use energy as a healing. You can see that. Yeah. Energy is a healing. So volitional action is have their own positive sides and negative sides. If you act with great aspirations or great motivating energies, then you are in a positive side. So based on this, you cannot judge the action of people based on what you see, but based what is inside, internally, intention and intention inside. Yeah, get this clear for you? So the next one is consciousness. Consciousness here, we have individual consciousness and collective consciousness. So sitting here as a group, we have individual consciousness and we have collective consciousness. So based on the 12 links, consciousness here is it's more like the wrong perceptions, consciousness. When it's in the ignorant stage, in the negative side. So we have to transform that consciousness. Later on, we'll talk for different consciousness transform. When the consciousness transform, what is going to be? In Buddhism, we call Bhattak, and we call white consciousness. Because now it's dark consciousness. And we have to transform into, turn it to light consciousness, clear consciousness. So the first five consciousness, the conscious, I consciousness, ear consciousness, five consciousness, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind consciousness. And the eye consciousness come into contact with one. There's five objects. This is form, right? You see some form. So all form, eyes come. This body is a form, so you can come contact into that. So that I'm able to see the black ball, you know, this pen, all kind of stuff. Sound is the objects of the ear. Music, for example, playing drums. So what is the object of nose? Smells. What is the object of mind? All phenomena is the object of the mind. Able to see all phenomena. So when so it's diluted consciousness at the stage that not transformed yet, diluted, influenced by external. So when we see form, for example, as you see a human, you know, maybe of success, you come into what? Attach. Or either attach or desire. Maybe you see a car as a form, right? Your consciousness. And that's come into contact. And you may be attached or averse, either. That. That's mostly as a human, samsara humans, we in that kind of stage. That run our life every day, either attached or dislike, or aversions, dislike. Maybe your children too, you know, you have children sometimes, some children is very behaving. And you become attached to them, right? As a parent, you love that children more, child more. But some children is not disciplined. You feel less. You feel still love them, but you less. So we always in that. That's why we feel irritated. If they are not disciplined, we feel irritated. Yeah, they are running around and. Them to sit down, but they don't sit. They never sit. Children never sit, and they have a lot of energies. So we are all either in the state of like or in the state of dislike, most of the time. It's really hard for us to be in a neutral state. That's create us as a human. And our ear, you know, you come into the sound. And some of us, so here is someone I say to you, but if like likable and you like it, but if not, you may dislike, right? That's why our ear is not pure, you know? So we have to transform that as a practitioner. And our nose, you smell perfume. You go to cheer, you know, and you know there's some people, you know, around you and you smell good and you like it, and sometimes some smell that you don't like. So we always fall in that, either like or not like, and the same things. So that's why the consciousness is diluted. It's not pure, it's not clear. So it's always covered with some kind of layers of delusions. That's the negative side of it. But the positive side, when all this transforms, the five consciousness will be transformed into the wisdom of wonderful realizations. So once you really are practicing it, your consciousness become slowly pure and white and light. And you will be recognized the form, the eye you see. Anything is as it is. You don't put a lot of judgmental into it. You see it as it is. because you're able to see the nature of it. Maybe you look at the flower, you see its beauty, but at the same time you see the nature of impermanent of the flower, right? The same thing you look in a human, you look in the fresh, energetic young child, you see that energy, but at the same time you see the impermanence, the decay, the nature of that. So you see the child as it is. So you don't label, you don't put light or versions. You don't impose that. So that's why they call the wisdom of wonderful realizations. Realizing what is wonderful. Oh, this will transform. Eye, ear, nose, and body and mind. We transform. The sound now is the sound of Dharma. Dharma here, you can see the aspen leaf plain, but you see the nature of it, beauty of it. You see, you don't see the sound, but now it's become music. Now that sound can become a Dharma sound. That's why in Amitabha Buddha Sutra, they say all the sound in his realm, all the sound turn into the sound of Dharma. Even the whisper of bird, the sound of Dharma. If you read the Amitabha Buddha, say that everything's become Dharma. Because you're able, you see the sound, you see the smell. Smell now become Dharma, the fragrance. It's no longer. That's described in the Amitabha Buddha Sutra. So that's why we call, when once it, all these five consciousness transform, and five objects of the consciousness transform, it's become wonderful realizations. The Buddha have the eye, but with the eye of compassion, it's the eye of love.
Say that again a little louder, please.
The Buddha have eyes, but he see form, and is turning to compassion and love, with all sentiments. He's a bodhisattva. Because he sees the suffering, he sees the desire of himself, sentiments. But we have the same eyes, our naked eye, but our eyes may be different. We see different, we hear different. That's the difference. Because the Buddha able to see and penetrate all forms, all sounds, all smells, all tastes. Whatever he eats, it's turned into nectar. Even the worst food in this world turned into nectar. Because of his internal transformations. It's beautiful. Same objects, but different way of working on into it. And the next wisdom is we call so the mind by itself is different, okay, by its own. So that's why I say the first five is object and mind. So now the mind, illuded mind, now it's turned into the wonderful observations, because sometimes the root mind is full of perceptions and wrong perceptions. Once we don't practice, but once it's turned into realizations, become the wonderful observations of realizations. So everything that observation is turned into wisdom. Observation wisdom. Now is no longer in the stage of deception or deceive or wrong perceptions. Thus is the positive mind of illuded mind. And the next one is we call mana consciousness. It's the seventh consciousness. Manas consciousness. And this is where the ego, self, is always possessions, like my, me, everything is belong to me, everything is mine. This is the most discriminator. Whatever he sees or he sees, always discriminate in a state of discrimination. And it's create a lot of suffering. A lot of judgmental as man acts. Seven consciousness. And everything is always say me and mine. I, me, mine. So Freud says ego, Freud. And this negative side of this is sometimes denied. It's denied them. Deny. That's what Freud says, deny. And our present world today, we call deny. Deny, run away from our own sufferings. And there's a lot of projections too. Christ calls projections. It's more like projections, things outside, external. You know, you project on other things. Projection sort of mean you don't really accept yourself. And running away is your own force, own sufferings. And it's have a lot of rationalizations, always rationalizations. But I think that's true in Buddhism and it's true in Freud. But I don't know whether Freud studied Buddhism or not. But as you study psychology, you know that realizations are rationalizations, always. It's rational. That's what Freud says. But I think it's true in Buddhism too. We always rational reasoning with ourselves, you know, to run away the truth, to rationalize. So Freud say it's like it. Is that it? How you say this word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It, right?
Mm-hmm.
It. In Freud, he say it, ego, you know. And self-suppression, you suppress yourself, suppression. You don't see the reality, so we suppress ourselves. And suppression is a kind of illness, you know. Because when you suppress, then you don't feel natural with yourself, right? You be with yourself. You don't see the reality. So one of this manas, this transform, and this manas always attached to store consciousness, to claim it as a self, you know, because they don't have no place to take refuge, to hold on. So it's always run after the store consciousness. Later we will say about the store consciousness. They claim store consciousness as itself, as a self. Always hold on to it. Grasp on to store consciousness, to claim it as a self. Manas. Because they don't realize the emptiness, the empty of the self. I feel lonely. Yeah, this loneliness is why you have to grab on something, hold on something. Always loneliness. So once the manas transform is because it have the quality of discriminations, discriminator. One is totally transformed, then it's become wisdom of equality. Everybody now no longer me, my, or I, but we all the same, equal. Wisdom, they realize that. When we transform totally all this ego self, you know, I turn the self into equality. Remove the separation between self and others. see everything as a whole, not as a part. Because when man is in by self, you see everything as separate self. A separate self. So one is totally realized, then it's, you know, you see everybody, you know, you see your suffering as my suffering. That's the realizations. Because you and me somehow interrelate. Because we all composed of what? Earth. You have earth. I have earth. You have fire. I have fire. So to see that, penetrate that, we are composed by four different elements, right? All different. So to see that, once that transform, see that. So that's why it's able to see, the wisdom able to penetrate and see that we are composed of four different elements, earth, water, fire, and what?
Air.
Air. We are there. We breathe the same air. We eat food. Same food. So they once we realize that. But need a lot of practice to realize that. Penetrate that wisdoms. The wisdom. That's the part of Sabbath. So the fourth one is store consciousness. So we have total 8 consciousness here. The first 5, the mind consciousness, and manas consciousness, and store consciousness. So store consciousness, they store everything, even wholesome and unwholesome. It's all right. Your store house or storeroom, you store everything. Sometimes you store computer, sometimes you store some trash, some many different things. All go into store consciousness. And it depends on what kind of seeds you store into that. You store wholesome seeds, store unwholesome seeds. So whichever strong is will manifest first. For example, in your dream, for example, if you have a lot of unwholesome act, then you will have a horrible dreams because that strong has manifest first. That's why we study with a cause and effect. So all store into consciousness. Just like earth, store consciousness here, we example of earth. Store everything. You can see many kind of trees, many kind of flowers. Just like store consciousness. So when the spring comes, all kind of flowers, all kind of things grow from earth. Store consciousness. So from my understanding, I think store consciousness is like more neutral. They don't discriminate, they store everything. Just hold there. It doesn't discriminate as you are good or bad. What kind of seed you want to store there. Just hold, you know. Just hold everything there. Everything there. So it depends what kind of water you water, what kind of seed you water. So it can be grown. So if you every day you in your store consciously have the seeds of compassion, seed of love and kindness. So every day you contemplate about that, then you be, and that seeds of love and kindness of care of concern be watered. And that's what will be manifest in your life, in your through your actions, your volitional actions here. You see how it's connect now? Yeah. So it will come up. So later I will see how connect it is. So every day you contemplate of your impermanence. And that allows you to let go of life of whatever is come and go. You see the impermanent life. And your capacities, ability, acceptance much stronger when you contemplate that. So, the different of the awakened one, he's also able to contemplate that. The Buddha contemplate that every day. So does. And slowly it's purified. So the different is the awareness. The awareness. And different way of contemplating. What kind of see you want to contemplate in your store consciousness? So if you want to be insightful, for example, then you contemplate every day. And you read book. That means you water the seed of insight, intellect, or the insight in you. First is intellect. But slowly, the more you contemplate, become insight. Intellect is something that you accumulate outside. But it's not totally consumption yet. Totally digest yet. So you have to digest all your intellect. You have to become your bone, your marrow, your blood. And that's where insight turns into insight. So the different insight and intellectual, you have to understand that intellectually you accumulate something inside. But inside, you contemplate, more contemplate in your practice. So the more you contemplate, the more insight you have. More you will be generate, just like a generator. You study, you read, and then you contemplate. So when first you read the book, or read some sutra, for example, teaching, it's more intellectual. Even though you read the heart of the Buddha, it's not inside yet. You have to contemplate. It's turned into insight. So that inside where it helps you to transform all the suffering of this life. Intellectual will not help you transform. Help give you some light there. Some light. But not transform yet. So once the alaya vijnana transformed, totally purified itself, it removed all the afflictions, and it's turned themselves into great mirror of wisdom. Now it's become a mirror, you know, like earth, for example. So everywhere you see, you're able to see with your insight. That's why they call mirror. Great mirror of wisdom. It turned itself into that. When you attain Arahat, you are able to attain the stage of great mirror wisdom. So now all consciousness, all your intellectual turn into really totally digest itself and turn itself into great mirror wisdom. So that you're able to see life. Life become a reality. Now suffering turn into reality, into compassion. So you're able to see and you know how to act. Now your volitional acts no longer cause suffering. Did you get a clear picture on this? The four wisdom? How that turn into, how that transform itself? So all the four wisdom needs to contemplate. Contemplate and really put into so that you can digest all this and purify its defilements. Because of the defilement, that's why it's covered. Because of the ignorance. It's covered layer by layers. So in our consciousness, many layers in our consciousness. So slowly, as we contemplate, we remove layer by layers and transform itself. Some seeds very, very deep. You know, some seeds very deep inside consciousness. It takes some kind of strong work, like for example, the seeds of lotus seed is never blossom if you're never able to crack it, because it's covered by many thick. The shell of the lotus flower is very hard for the water to penetrate. So you have to cut it and able to have some water into it so it's able to sprout itself. It's the same thing, some of our seeds very deep down. It's like covered by many self, many layers. It's like that. So it's very, very slow, deep down. Any questions? So now it's time for you to questions. I'm talking serious, huh? But this one I have to talk with my all my my human body. So if you have no more questions, we will stop here and see if and so please contemplate on that and practice and see for yourself. I just share you what I read and it's part of my contemplative. And you have to do the work for yourself to do the transformations. You have to walk with your feet and walk with your mind in all of this. And nobody can do that for you. Even the Buddha appear in front of us. If he able to do the work for us, he already did. We already become enlightened. But he say, no, I can't do that for you. I show you the way, and you walk, and you walk. It's up to you. It's all up to us. Whatever you, however you want to do with it, however you want to work with your life, we have the choice. All we have, all we have choice. That's why in Buddhism we don't have destination, destiny. No, you have the choice. You have the right to work with it. So next time I will continue on the next the fourth link. So think about that, the how is interconnect the ignorance, volitional actions of thoughts, and four different the five consciousness. I.e. body, nose, and mind. And the mind consciousness and the manas consciousness, alaya visnana, the store consciousness, and this is very deep in Buddhist psychology where we study.
I like the idea of that you just shared with us about contemplation as a way to water the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't thought about it that way, and how that can help bring insight. Would you be willing to share an example from your own experience of how something, how contemplation brought you insight?
Oh yeah, it's not very difficult.
For him, it's not.
So for myself, I think I contemplate a lot of impermanent as my life. Because I travel a lot and I stay in different place. And as I travel and I see many huge constructions, for example, huge temple. And there's time that that temple, there's a lot of monastics there, but that once the time I'm there, there's no more monastics, so it's impermanent. And I ask the question, why, you know, there's time that that a lot of people practice here, and external structures, you know, sometimes we do a lot of attachment to that. Maybe house, maybe car, many things, attachment. And as I contemplate that, it's easy to let go, you know. You really penetrate the teachings of impermanence, because when you see that, it's the same thing as this body. So when you're still healthy, but you know that the truth that one day you will be sick, one day you will die. And that's the facts. So what is, you know, if we have a lot of sting, one day you have to let it go. And the same thing as idea also, you know. It's come and it's go. And some people say something that hurt, really hurt us. And if we're not able to let it go, we're suffering a lot. Suffering a lot of, yes, that's why I say words, can be, but if we, but we contemplate on impermanent of our thoughts, our actions, of the things around, then we able to let go easily. And once we let go, we become natural, in the states of nature, and it's easy to accept, like earth itself. So now the strength of acceptance become more as something that is natural for us. So everything, we can accept everything as they are, right? That's that contemplation become insight. The insight of acceptance easy because we penetrate the impermanence of phenomenons, impermanence of forms ourselves. People suffering because they're not able to see the impermanent and really not able to accept things. That's why we're suffering. Right? Even ideas. Whether great idea or, you know, small idea. But we're able to accept with the natural state, you know, a lot of resistance. Sometimes we accept, but there's a resistance force in us. And that's called us ill. And it generates many kind of different chemical in our body. So I don't know whether that helped you on that. Yeah. So contemplating on what doesn't, and you know, cellessness, the impermanence, all that, this will help, and generate insight. So the same thing, all this here in us. So the more you contemplate, the more you will be able to, your capacity of accepting life will be greater, and you will live at peace with yourself. And you become less resistant in whatever is come in all situations. We have to live with that insight, not just only saying it. The difference between Buddha and us, the awakened one with us. The awakened one, they live with the inside. They not say the inside. That's the difference. And everything they say is become reality. Once you live with that, everything you say is become reality. So that's why we practice, is try to live, to turn all that as our bone, as marrows, as flesh. So the more you're able to do that, the more you will be, you have a lot more strength to live in this life, and the more you will be, live the life as normal, as person. Okay, thank you for the questions. So you have any contemplate on that, and then you next time you can ask questions and share with the class. So thank you everybody for listening. So we will conclude here. Don't make yourself too serious. I don't know whether you things look so serious, but I don't know whether my talk is too serious or not. Don't make yourselves too serious. Take life easy. And,
Sometimes, for me, when you talk, it's coming in not just in my ears, and I'm trying to really take it in and see how it affects me. And so I think sometimes I know I get to looking a little
too intense.
Intense, because I'm trying to drink it in and digest it a little. So yes,
yeah. It seems like it's not too much fun today, but
today's not over.
Yeah. But please don't make it too serious. You know, like I talk with my heart. So I I don't know what to say.
This is a very deep subject.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably are all sitting here looking serious, or some of us anyway, because we're trying to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've heard this before, and every time I hear it, I hear something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so your teaching of it gave me new insight.
Mm.
And different kind of rain.
Yeah. So you know, the inside is always new. It's always new. Inside is never. Mm. It's never always new.
Just one quick comment. You gave the analogy about ignorance, and it's like a blind person not being able to see or having your eyes closed. The analogy that came to mind for me, or probably a lot of us, is more like a strobe light. Like you're in a dark room and there's a strobe light. Mm-hmm. And you can see like little glimpses of it, but that strobe light's moving too fast. And you can't see through the whole time.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because this subject is quite deep, and it takes some experience to explain it. Because that's why I have to postpone a couple of weeks, and I do contemplation and on that, and to get myself more time and to digest. I read and study this many times as a Buddhist practitioner, and every time I read, I come back and read again. It's totally different.
Mm.
Mm.
And especially when I sit by myself and really calm myself, it's totally much different what I read again. Even the same book I read, and I think today's book is very clear and very give a sense of practice. I read many other articles also, but many of them they explain it in a lineage, a linear line, and today's explain it, and I think it's more insightful and is able to easy to digest and understand. But if you read it with at night, or some you sit, if you read it in a calm and clear mind, sometimes you just make yourself a tea and really read and really enjoy it and let it it's like rain, it's going to permeate in you, and you're totally different and different understanding. So the teaching of Buddha, sometimes we read, but it's different every time. It's a different level of understanding. I read the sutra. It depends on the stage of my. That's how I think. Okay, thank you very much. You have any
question? I have a question.
Susanna?
Because I've heard Tai use the word the gardener when he's mm-hmm. talking about the consciousness.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he's referring to when he says that.
Oh, gardener? So it's a gardener here, if we can see at different. As a different angle here, a gardener beneath the earth, right, the soil, and to work on the garden. But at the same time, as a gardener, you can cultivate your own garden, and you can pick the wild grass out. So you can choose different seeds to work on. You see, as a gardener, you can what kind of seed you want to plant on your garden. So you already have the soil, the earth, the ground. So the gardener here can be a store consciousness, but at the same time, it can be the sea. Right? Now you can pick what kind of sea you are planting, if you have the ground, the soil. So the gardener here can be the store consciousness, but at the same time, can be the sea. Both. I don't know whether that makes sense to you. So a gardener can do many different things. He can turn the compost into something that's very rich, right? So gardeners have the choice to do the compost or to plant the seeds. So we have three things: it's the ground, the soil, the seeds. and the things to make it rich. So that's how I see it. Yeah. So Tate used a lot of that example as a gardener, practicing it as a gardener. So the practitioner picks the seeds to contemplate what to do. Okay, that's my contribution. So mm-hmm. if you have other contribution, you can contribute. We all have some insight or have insight and things to contribute. So we will stop here and take a break, short break, and then we can do our sitting. So thank you once again. Thank you everyone for your patience, mm-hmm. your listening to my sharing. So contemplate on that, and next time if you practice, you can see any new insight you can share with us. So I will invite Teresa of the Bell to conclude our sharing today.